Hi.
Hi.
2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. I don't even need this. How you doing? How about that teaching before? God loves us, man. I'm going to see that a little bit here, too. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 should be pretty familiar to most of us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what?
Sound mind.
Fear here is, Bollinger says, moral cowardice or timidity. You like that? Timidity. And cowardice is want of courage to face danger. It's fear of exposing one's person to danger. And, you know, Dr. Werwell taught this spirit of fear was a devil spirit. And so what God's comparing here is the effect of that spirit on a person to the spirit that he's given us. And the spirit that he's given us does not cause cowardice. It does not cause timidity. What's it give you? What's part and parcel of that spirit? It's power. It's love. And it's a sound mind. In Job, from victim to victor, I think, is that God's magnified word? I think that's in. This is a quote. Fear is the product of negative believing. It is wrong thinking, wrong believing. So if we have fear, we're wrong. If you're afraid, you've missed it. You've got it wrong. You're missing something. Maybe you're looking at the circumstances, you know? Maybe we're looking at what's happened in the past. Maybe we're looking at anything except the spiritual realities that are ever-present and that are true, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what's happened in our past. If we fear, if we're afraid, we should immediately tell ourselves that we're wrong. I missed it, right? I must be missing something. There must be something else to this. And then we should immediately find out what that thing is. We've got God. We've got the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. And we've got Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. Sound mind is it's a making of sound mind. It's sober-minded. It's controlling all inordinate desires. And I really liked this. It's a regulated life. Do you understand that's a promise from God? A regulated life. Power, love, which we just heard about so masterfully. And a regulated life. You do not need to be out of control. And you shouldn't be. God is in control. When and where we let him. When and where we believe this verse. And it comes down to the fact that you've got Holy Spirit. That thing doesn't leave, that thing doesn't get damaged, that thing doesn't get worse over time, right? It doesn't corrupt. It's what? Incorruptible. We shouldn't be afraid. We're powerful. God loves us, and we can think rightly. You can think correctly. You can think soberly. At any moment, that's available to you. You can think correctly. You got to believe it. And thinking correctly is spiritual thinking, okay? It's what's really going on. What is really going on? And that should be a question we ask ourselves. What's really going on? And it's a question that God will answer. God loves those kinds of questions. He's got a bunch of manifestations that are all about those kinds of questions. So what are we afraid of? Go to Romans 8. Pick up where Joe left off. He didn't read any of my verses. He came right up to the edge of most of my verses and then didn't read. It's pretty cool. All right, Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us? The word separate is the Greek word chorizo, which means to cook with paprika and garlic and other spices. I think it's chorizo, probably, but it looks just like chorizo. It means to separate, to sever, to put space between. All right? Who's going to put space between us and the love of Christ? And so here's some questions. So tribulation, that's pressure. It's compression. It's pressure from evils. Is distress going to do it? Distress is crowding into a narrow place. Do you ever feel backed into a corner? Yes. Nowhere to go? No options? Is that going to separate you from the love of Christ? Is persecution, the pursuit of an enemy, like someone ever have it out for you? Someone always does, right? It's the adversary. But sometimes you got a devil spirit out for you. Sometimes you got a person out for you. Famine is a failure or want. You don't have what you need, or what you have isn't working. Nakedness, you know what nakedness is. You know, you're exposed to the elements, and there's a sense of shame with this word a lot of times when it's used. That might scare you. Perils or dangers, you can put a ribbon here or whatever you want. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. These are things that scare people. These are things that scare us sometimes. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 26. Paul's talking. He says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters. So you could be afraid of water. In perils of robbers. You could be afraid of robbers. There's, I guess, a bunch of burglaries by my parents. And they live in, like, Hicksville, New Jersey. So everybody's sitting on their porch with their guns. I guess my dad's neighbor, the guys came to hit the same house twice to try to steal a second car. And he just pointed the gun. Hopefully they don't come back. My kids are there. In perils by my own countrymen. Not other Americans. Yes. In perils by the heathen, unbelievers, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Go back to Romans. Dangers. There's dangers in life. Adversary runs the world, right? Sword, verse 35, that last word, that's a slaughter knife. So this is what they came after Jesus Christ with. This is what they killed James, the brother of John, with in Acts 12. Right? It's violence. Right? You ever been subject to violence? You ever been afraid of violence? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. That could be our attitude, if we wanted. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. All this stuff's real, right? All this stuff happens, right? But it says no in verse 37. In all these things we're what? More than conquerors. Through him that what? God loves you. So you don't need to be afraid. For I'm persuaded that neither death, you know what that is, life scares some people. Death scares some people. Angels is spirit messengers. Devil spirits scare some people. Principalities, the people that run the show in this world, or the spirits that run them. Afraid of them. Powers, things present or things to come. What's going on now? What could happen, right? Height, depth, any other creature, anything. You could be afraid of all that. Boo. But it says none of that's able to separate us from what? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of that can put space between God's love for you and you. But if we allow it to mentally, we're going to feel lost at sea. We're going to feel adrift. We're going to feel alone. And it's not true. It's not true. We're not thinking spiritually. We're thinking carnally. Go back to, no, don't. Go to 1 John. 1 John 4. The truth is comforting, right? So again, if we're afraid, if we're anxious, if we're whatever, we're missing it. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect." And that word perfect is, it's like mature, right? That's like, this is like the full whatever. Our love is mature when what? We have boldness in the day of judgment, and that's today. When we're bold, we're confident in God's love for us. Because as he is, so are what? Power, love, sound mind. There is no fear in what? Perfect love casts out fear. And because fear is torment, and if you're afraid, you're not accepting the love of God like Joe was talking about. You're not thinking about how the creator of the heavens and the earth is concerned about little old me. And it's true. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. In verse 1, Psalm 27, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Right? If God be for us, who can what? Who's bigger than God? No one. And God being for you is not, like we saw, it's not conditional on anything, is it? There's nothing you need to do to make that true. It's already true. And the times that we forget that are the times we become afraid. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now you can actually go back to 2 Timothy 1. Fear is not from God. When we fear, we're not believing God, right? And when we fear, we're not thinking spiritually. We've got it wrong. 2 Timothy 1, 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Power is dunamis. It's inherent power. That's where we get the words dynamic and dynamo from. It reproduces itself. It doesn't deplete. You don't run out of it. It's refreshed, it's renewed, it comes from God, it's connected right to the source. You have power. When we forget that, we become afraid. 1 Corinthians 2. You have power. The power that got Jesus Christ up from the dead. The power that beat the adversary. That's in me, that's in you. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by what? Spirit. His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." That's what we have access to, the deep things of God, deep spiritual truths. "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." You know you know how you feel, right? And it's hard for other people to access that. At least it seems that way for me, right? But you've got the Spirit of God. You can understand godly things because of the nature that you have now. Now we've received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of what? Over and over, God's saying, this spirit is, it's not worldly. It's not like this. It's from me. It's like me. that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. That's what we're supposed to talk about. That's what's supposed to come out, right? Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. That's spiritual understanding. And that's what we need to work at. That's what we need to develop. An inner spiritual awareness, you know? Go to John 14. So you have access to information that other people don't, right? Even if you think they're real smart, if they don't have Holy Spirit or they don't know they have it, if they don't use it, we have access to information that other people don't. John 14. You should tell them they can have it. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, Jesus Christ talking, which is the Holy Ghost, which is Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This Holy Spirit that was going to come. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it what? We're sons of God. We've got Holy Spirit. This is what he told them. I'm leaving, right? But you're going to have Holy Spirit. Don't worry. Don't be afraid, right? You're going to have me in you. I'm going to be with you all the time, right? Jesus Christ went to bed, right? Jesus Christ went into mountains to pray. He wasn't physically with them every moment of every day. Well, guess what? That's all changed for us, hasn't it? Now, I think sometimes we think that these guys had it better than we do, spiritually. And it's not true. It's not true. It's God and Christ in you. You know, to be troubled is to stir up, to agitate like water in a pool. That happen to your mind sometimes? To disturb with various emotions. But you can have peace. The Prince of Peace is in you. It's part of who you are. John 6. Oh, here's one. Got to think spiritually. Got to have a spiritual perspective on things. John 6, verse 63 says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits what?
Nothing.
It profits what?
Nothing.
It profits nothing. Jerry talked last night about some profit that we can get, right? From the nine manifestations. Which are the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, right? The words that I speak unto you, Jesus Christ said, they are spirit and they are what? You're reading God's word. These, right? These aren't just like his impressions about things and maybe he'll change his mind, right? These are spiritual words. These are spiritual thoughts you're putting in your head right now. This is the spiritual perspective and the true perspective on life. All things that pertain unto what? Nothing's left out here. And if there's a gap because of your circumstances and your situation, what do you have? Holy Spirit. Right? But you want to think spiritually, you think God's word. You want to think about things spiritually, you go to God's word. There's spirit and it's life. Luke 10. Verse 38. It says, now it came to pass, as they went, that he, Jesus Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman, named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his what? Okay, what's she listening to? God's word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Don't you even care that she's not helping me?" Right? Jesus. "Bid her, therefore, that she help me," telling Jesus what to do. Like he's missing it, right? Like he's missing it. Who's missing it? This is where we've all been this, right? We've all done this. Look, and Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," right? "You are careful and troubled about what? You are anxious and troubled about many things." Anxious, we know this one, right? Full of anxiety that divides up and distracts the mind. That's what she was. She was distracted, all right? She was distracted and she was troubled. That's to make turbid. Turbid, all right? That's like a liquid that's clear, but there's stuff at the bottom and you shake it up and now it's all cloudy. Right. Disturbed. And he says to her in verse 42, "But one thing is what?
Needful.
Needful. One thing is needful. And Mary's chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." One thing was necessary, and Mary chose that. She chose it. She chose it. That's to lay out together and to pick one. She picked the right thing, and it was the necessary thing. The other stuff is window dressing. What was important? God's word. What was important? Spiritual things. The truth. The rest of it, it's great. It's fine. It's not God's word. It's not the truth. She chose the right thing. Does God's word fit into our schedule? Or is our schedule dictated by our need for God's word, our need for the spiritual food that is necessary to living the kind of life that God has called us to live? She chose right. Let's not try to justify our worries. I mean, let's talk about anxiety, you know? A lot of that going around. There's been a lot of more of that going around the last few years, okay? It's a diagnosis, right? It's something a doctor can tell you you have and that you will have. Nothing against medicine. I think most of you know I've seen quite a few doctors about some things in my life. And I know what some of you are saying. Patty Hannon, what does he know about anxiety? He's the most relaxed guy of all time. But yes, even me, even I, have had my opportunities. And the truth is, for this, for anything else, if you are doing what a doctor or a therapist or some writer says before or instead of what God's word says, you're a fool. And I say that as someone who has been very foolish in his life. You're a fool. You go to the word first. If your doctor doesn't concur with God's word, his opinion's not worth anything, okay? It's the truth of God's word or it's not. And if you sit there and you let some PhD contradict God and you don't speak up for yourself in your own life, you're just a target. You painted it on your own back. We got to renew our minds to the truth. Mary knew what was necessary. The rest of it can wait. God's word cannot wait. God should not be made to wait by us because of all the other things that we're worried about doing. We got to be honest with ourselves. Acts 26. Yeah, nothing against that stuff, but I mean, well, if it flies in the face of God's word, then everything against it, okay? Guilty. Everything against it. You gotta check, guys. You gotta check what you're listening to against God's word, okay? The adversary's subtle. You're not gonna recognize it because of your big brain, okay? I've been there. You get a prognosis, I'll get better in 2 years. Really? Did God say that? Did you ask him? I'll have this the rest of my life. Is that the testimony of God's word? Acts 26, 24. Paul's defending himself. He went in jail. It's his fault, right? It's in Rome. And as he thus, verse 24, spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning has made you what? Man. You're out of your mind, man. You don't make any sense. And he said, Paul, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. But what? I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. You know, the truth will sound like madness to some people. It did to this guy. The world may think the truth is madness, but we cannot make that mistake. Don't let them convince you you're crazy because you believe God's word. Or you'll be just like them. What do they have going for them? Matthew 6. I don't know. Matthew 6. And you know, with all this brain stuff, it's like, you know, the word handles this stuff really specifically, right? Like, it doesn't tell you how to treat cancer, but it does tell you how to deal with depression. It does tell you how to deal with anxiety. It's worth looking into. Matthew 6, verse 25. We'll look into it right now. Jesus Christ says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. That's be anxious. Don't be anxious for what? Your life. Stop being anxious about your life. Stop being distracted by the things that come up in your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or for your body. I've got a good, this, if you look, see that notch? Yeah, that was where it was. I'm one notch in. That's nice. That's my body. What you shall put on. I could have been worried about that, but I put it, and then I saw the notch this morning. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Look, isn't life about more than stuff? Maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. It's up to you what you want your life to be about, man. It's up to everybody. It's up to all of us. What you want your life to be about. It could be about stuff. But Jesus Christ is like, is that all you want? Is that all you're after? Look at these birds. They don't plant. They don't reap. They don't work or gather into barns. That's what God just gives to them. They don't worry about it. They don't think about it. Your heavenly Father feeds them, and you're better than a bird. A stupid bird? Bird-brained is a phrase about how stupid birds are? Verse 27. Can you worry your way into being taller? You know, like, I don't know, I think about this, or like when Jesus Christ says, like, don't swear by your head because you can't even make one hair white or black, and I just always think it's like, this is supposedly my body, like, I can't really do anything to it. So why do I think that, like, my brain power is going to, like, change the things around me somehow? I can't even do anything with this. I did the belt notch, but I think that's just because I'm feeling better. 28. Why are you thinking about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work. They don't spin cloth and stuff. But even Solomon, with all his money and all the nicest clothes, was not as pretty as a flower that God made, right? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, what's he going to do for you? Right? O ye of little what? Have some confidence in God. Have some confidence in God. Quit worrying. Don't take no thought. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For after all these things do the what? Unbelievers. That's what they're thinking about all the time. But we have a different kind of life than them. For your heavenly Father, he already knows that you need that stuff. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? And that's to seek after, to look, to strive to find. And there's a whole spiritual realm that we're supposed to be more concerned with than this stuff. This other stuff is distractions. And it causes us just pain and anxiety and trouble, and it doesn't need to. You trust God. Therefore, take no thought. Don't be worried about tomorrow. For the morrow shall what? You'll get there, or Jesus Christ will come back, and then you can think about it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough to do today. Matthew 7. What do we seek? What kind of life do we want? Oh, it's one chapter over. Verse 7. Ask and it shall be what? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be what? God's not stingy. He's giving. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, he'll give him a what? I mean, that's basic stuff, right? I'm not going to give my kids a rock when they ask for some goldfish, right? Crackers. Goldfish crackers. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a what? A snake. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? It's easy. That part's easy. Those necessities of life, food and like the things we need to serve, that's the easy stuff. Right? That's a given. God will take care of it. We should be concerned with spiritual things. We should be seeking first the kingdom of God. Because that stuff's nothing. There's no problem. How can we fear knowing that? You know? 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? And that care is that same word anxiety, the same word take thought, the same word be careful for nothing that we're going to see in a little bit in Philippians 4. Those anxieties, God cares about you, so you just throw them to him, and it shouldn't bother us after that. Be sober, you know? Think straight. Think right. Don't be drunk about it. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Why does a lion roar? To scare you. So that you don't move and then he can take a chunk out of you. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who's called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, what's he going to do? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's the promise of God. That's what's going to happen. That's the spiritual reality, and that's what's true. And when we're afraid, we're forgetting this. And we've got it wrong. We're wrong. Philippians 4. God cares about you, cares about me. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
For what?
Nothing.
I mean, nothing. For nothing. Don't try to justify your anxieties. Just handle them. Go to God. Let him take care of you. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, specific requests, with what? Let your requests be made known unto God. Pray, ask God for what you need, and be what? Thankful. Make a list, man. If you're all balled up, make a list. There's so much good in our lives. Here, look. The peace of God, which is what we're after, which passes all understanding, and that means it's better than every way of thinking. It's better than your way that you're thinking right now. It's better than thinking. It's beyond that. It's a spiritual reality. You've got Holy Spirit. These are things that you can access, that you can understand. And it may sound crazy to other people, but it's the most sane thing you can do is be peaceful, no matter what's going on out there. Jesus Christ is coming back. The creator of the heavens and the earth loves you and gave his son for you. And you're powerful. There's no situation you aren't fully equipped to handle. That's the truth. The peace of God is better than every way of thinking, and that will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, verse 8. Brethren, whatsoever things are what?
True.
Whatsoever things are true. Or are feelings true? The things we read true? Nah, maybe. But they're suspect. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy what? God's word is true. God's word is spiritual thinking. God's word is what we need to think. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, that means honorable, venerable, dignified. And it's often used of leaders in the church. How much time do we spend thinking about dishonorable things, dishonorable people? We've got to change it. There's good things out there. There's good things in our lives. Look at this room. These are people that decided to take a week of their lives just to hear God's word and be with each other. That's honorable. That's dignified. That's venerable. Think about that. Think about what we have. Wherever things are lovely, that's pleasing or agreeable. Oh, I'm sorry, we skipped just. Just is right. It's the word for like righteousness. It's things that are right. There are things that are right in this world because God set them so. There's a lot of injustice. Fine. That's not what we're supposed to be thinking about all the time. Whatsoever things are lovely are things that are pleasing or agreeable to us. You know? How much time do we spend thinking about things that are unpleasant or disgusting or hateful to us? What about the things that please us? What about the things that are lovely to us? Good report, well spoken or well worded. How much time do we spend thinking about the bad stories we've heard? You know, what have you heard that's good? Virtue is superiority, if there be any virtue. It's excellence, it's goodness. What are the believers good at? What are you good at? And praise is praise of applause. And how much time, you know, do we spend thinking about things that are worthy of scorn instead of things that are commendable, you know? It says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's that word, logizomai. All right? And it's like to come to the conclusion, right? Love thinks no what? Evil. That's that come to the conclusion of. But it's to be occupied with something. It's with reckonings and calculations and turning it over in your mind. And we're not supposed to do that with the evil of this world. You're not going to solve it. It's not on you. Right? You're not going to be president and solve everything. The president doesn't solve anything. We're supposed to be occupied with these things. That's what's supposed to occupy our thoughts. True, honest, right? Honorable, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. We're supposed to be occupied with that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where our brains are supposed to be. That's spiritual thinking. Everyone knows about the bad in this world. Right? You're not telling them anything they don't know. When you talk about how bad it is out there, they need to hear this. You need to hear this. We need to tell ourselves these things. We need to be occupied, calculating. Just that's got to be what distracts us from all the crap out there. This stuff, the good stuff. Yeah. 2 Corinthians. For which cause we faint not. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You ever almost gave up? I have. Don't. But though our outward man perish, although sometimes you get a little extra notch on the belt. But though our outward man perish for the most part, yet the inward man is what? Remember that power? In the Holy Spirit, right? It's always renewing. It's always fresh. It's as good as the day you got it. Don't sleep on that. That's you. That's the real you. For our light affliction, which is but for a what? And this is the perspective of eternity. This is the spiritual perspective of the troubles of our lives. And we've all got troubles. But it's for a moment, and it works for us a far more exceeding and what? Eternal weight of glory. The good stuff is going to last forever, and that's the difference. The bad stuff is a distraction for a moment while we're here. The good stuff that we do here matters for eternity, and when we get there, that's all we've got to look forward to is good stuff. So verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen. Don't get distracted by our senses, by the circumstances, by where we've been and what we've been through. The future is bright. You look at the things which are what? Not seen, not by natural men, but by those with the Spirit of God. This is the real stuff. And this is where we keep our eyes fixed. For the things which are seen, they're not going to last. But the things that are not seen, the things of God are what?
Eternal.
That matters. So don't get distracted by the other stuff. This is it. This is the real stuff. This is what we're doing this week. This is the real stuff this week. All that stuff, you turn off your phone, good. And you're going to go back to it. It's still not real. We got to hold on to what we hear this week. You keep it in your back pocket, and you don't let anyone take it away from you. Colossians 3. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting. And God does most of the work. It's just a renewed mind. As people in my fellowship know, every teaching is a renewed mind teaching. Colossians 3. I guess we'll close here. Verse 1. If you, or since you then, be risen with Christ, and that's the reality, right? When he got up, we got up. That's the Spirit in you. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where he is, and that's where we're going. Right? Set your affection. And that's an operation of the mind that includes both the understanding and the will. That's putting God's word in our minds and being willing to walk out on it and to think those thoughts instead of the ones the adversary wants us to think. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, right? This body, this thing. But our real life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our what? He's your life, your true life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in what? And that's where we're headed, and that's the true spiritual reality of you and of what's really going on in this world, all right? So don't be afraid. Believe God. Believe that you have power. Believe that you have the love of God, and you and I can think sound thoughts. We can think clear thoughts. We can think good, godly thoughts. And that's what we should be trying to do. All right? The end. Okay.